Fahrenheit. All right, let's launch Firefox and get our world news.
World news.
Oh yeah, it's also dry, Steph. Good point. Hey, X1. And I get to put my plus pluses in before I run away. All right, today's the 24th. Let's get going. Let's start with the way we used to start, child death. A man who was targeting a gunman in a shooting that left Olivia Pratt Corbel dead has been arrested and will be questioned about her murder. The 9-year-old was shot as her mother struggled with two men, one armed with a gun, at the door of her Liverpool home. The intended victim of the shooting has been named as 35-year-old Joseph Nee. Nee was also shot and is a convicted drug dealer and jailed for 3 years and 9 months in 2018 for burglary. Merseyside Police has not publicly identified Nee, who was previously convicted of 2 counts of theft of a motor vehicle, dangerous driving, driving without insurance, and driving while disqualified. But earlier, the force said a 35-year-old man injured in the shooting would be recalled to prison for allegedly breaching the terms of his license conditions with poor behavior. Police said the man, who was in stable condition, had been detained in hospital and would be further questioned in connection with Olivia's death. The force also said officers had been given the same name by 2 different sources in the hunt for the gunman. Both men have no links to Olivia's family. Each case is receiving first-class treatment and will continue to do so. Police raids carried out across Liverpool earlier were in response to the deaths and organized crime, an effect Merseyside Police is baring its teeth. We're proactive, we're hard-edged, and we're taking the fight to the criminal, he said. So, that's what's going on right now. Kind of sad that happened. It's more news because it's in the UK than anything. Of course, lots of kids die every day from gun violence in the US. Jamaican farm workers are decrying seismic-level exploitation in Canada. Jamaican agricultural workers say they face conditions akin to systemic slavery on Canadian farms as they call on Jamaica to address systemic problems in decades-old migrant labor program in Canada. In a letter sent to Jamaica's Ministry of Labor and Social Security earlier this month, workers affiliated with group Migrant Workers Alliance for Change, or MWAC, said they have been treated like mules on 2 farms in Ontario. We are treated like mules and punished...
Sorry, it's very distracting. They have bright lights flashing. They're just sitting behind me playing music really loudly. Hey, Ratsu, welcome. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. We'll go ahead and talk about what's going on in the world. We start the way we pretty much always do, and that's...
World news.
That's right, world news. So, let's pull it up. You can go to txo.org/1ID. If I remember that correctly. Go. Yep. That's TXO. So Tango. That's TX0.org/1 and then ID. That's TangoXray0.org/1IndiaDelta. All lowercase. And once you do that, boom, you'll be taken to the list so you can see all the news if you want to do that a little bit ahead of time. Alrighty. Alright, so let's get into it. We got news. Let's talk about it. We start, of course, with the death and destruction. In Mexico, at least 29 people are dead in operation to arrest the son of El Chapo. At least 29 people, including 10 soldiers, have been killed in an operation to arrest the son of jailed Mexican drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, Mexico's government says, after a shootout with cartel members. Ovidio Guzman, nicknamed El Raton, or the Mouse, was rounded up early on Thursday in the northern state of Sinaloa and flown to Mexico City on a military plane. 10 members of the military lost their lives in the line of duty, Defense Secretary Luis Crescencio Sandoval told reporters on Friday, adding 19 lawbreakers were also killed. Another 35 soldiers sustained gunshot wounds. Hey, they left. Or they turned their music off, at least. Members of the Sinaloa cartel and their associates. Oh, there. We'll get it eventually. Sinaloa cartel and their associates went on a rampage after Guzman's arrest, fighting security forces, setting vehicles on fire, and blocking roads across the Pacific coastal state. The violence was concentrated in and around Culiacan, the capital of Sinaloa, home of the powerful drug cartel, which El Chapo headed before his capture. 21 other people were arrested during Thursday's operations, Sandoval said during a news conference, adding there were no reports of any civilian deaths. The arrests of Guzman, 32, following 6 months of intelligence work to track him down, the government said, and he is now being held in a maximum security federal prison. Sandoval said a passenger plane that was just about to take off from Culiacan Airport and two Air Force aircraft were hit as members of the cartel launched an offensive to rescue him. The Air Force planes had to make an emergency landing after receiving a significant number of impacts. Seemed pretty scary. Mexican president said there was no immediate plans to extradite Ovidio Guzman to the U.S. He was arrested just days before U.S. President Joe Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau are to meet with the Mexican president, known as AMLO, in Mexico City, for 2 days of talks. Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. That's nice. It's a good nickname. While Mexican officials have tried to downplay the timing of the operation, Al Jazeera's Holman said many observers are skeptical. Every time one of these big meetings happen, usually the Mexican government tries to get some sort of big win, either capturing drugs or trying to capture some sort of drug boss. So, that's what we got going on there. It is news. Hey, ZDR Monster. Welcome. So, we got that going on. Don't worry, more death and destruction. But today is mostly about warnings, because if you didn't notice, it seems that a lot of deaths happen across the weekend. And late on Friday and early on Monday, they seem to report them. So we get a lot of our death and destruction on Monday and Tuesday, and it slowly peters out. And today, thankfully, we've got a low death count. So I'm happy about that. There is a storm warning issued for southern Mozambique. Funny enough, I was looking at the map of Africa, and Mozambique is many times larger than Portugal, who was its colonial oppressor back in the day. I thought that was very interesting. Anyway, authorities in Mozambique have issued a storm warning for the southern coastal province of Gaza. The National Weather Institute has urged residents to take precautionary measures to reinforce their houses and not venture outside. According to the Institute, gusts of wind could reach up to 60 kilometers per hour with heavy rains predicted. Mozambique, considered one of the African countries most severely affected by climate change, is in the middle of its rainy and cyclone season, which occurs between the months of October and April, with winds coming from the Indian Ocean and floods originating in the hydrographic basins of southern Africa. So, we may hear some sadness coming out of there soon, hopefully not. Speaking of sadness, Jair Bolsonaro is hanging out in Florida. There are some great photos and videos cropping up on social media. A photo of him eating some KFC all alone in Florida on Christmas. And then there was a photo of him, like, shopping at a Wegmans or some kind of, like, regional fat, or, like, grocery store. Just living in exile. Jair Bolsonaro wrecked Brazil's presidential palace, though. What? What do you mean? Jair Bolsonaro's wrecking of the Amazon made him a global outcast, but his acts of desecration weren't limited to the rainforest. A report by the Brazilian broadcaster Globo News suggests that even the official presidential residence, a 1950s masterpiece by architect Oscar Niemeyer, was defiled by the far-right politician during his 4 years in power. One of the network's leading political correspondents took a tour of the Palacio da Alvorada, Palace of Dawn, on Thursday with Brazil's new First Lady, Rosângela Lula da Silva, and was unimpressed with what she saw. The overall state of the building, which is Brazil's most iconic, is not good and will require many repairs. She showed torn carpets and sofas, leaky ceilings, broken windows, and jacaranda floorboards, and works of art damaged by the sun. Photographs of the rundown palace more resembled images of a dilapidated student accommodation than a listed building designed by one of the world's most celebrated modernist architects. A tapestry by Emilio de Cavalcanti, one of Brazil's most celebrated 20th century artists, had been damaged after being removed from the library and hung in the sun. Unfortunately, it will have to be restored, the First Lady said. Neri said several works of art had disappeared altogether from the palace, which was completed in 1958. Excuse me. The First Lady, who's widely known as Janja, said she felt rather disappointed and shaken by the state of disrepair of her new home. And, oh, hey, welcome, thank you, Tobe. Appreciate your service and gerbil fat help. Oh, you're leaving too. All right, bye. Sorry, this news is not nearly as exciting as it could be. Just kind of the boring day for news. It's the relaxing day. Sorry, I had to clear my throat there for a second. All right. So, it's very exciting. let's keep it moving, though. I'm sure there's more to the story. Or there's more going on. Oh, goodness. Sorry, it's a tough day today. Bookmarks menu. News to me. December. January 6th. In China. Let's talk about China. We've got three stories about China to talk about real quick. When Mr. Chen's 85-year-old father fell ill with COVID in December, it was impossible to get an ambulance or see a doctor. They went to... Oh, man, leaning my seat back. I feel so much better. They went to Chongying Hospital in Beijing, where they were told to either try other hospitals or sit in the corridor with an IV drip. There was no bed, no respiratory machine, no medical equipment. His father managed to find a bed at another hospital, but only through a special contact, and had by then developed a severe lung infection. The elder Mr. Chen has now recovered, but his son worries that a second infection in the future could kill him. 3 years of COVID prevention measures were a complete waste and failure, he says, because the government eased controls too quickly, with no preparation, and so many have caught the virus. The outbreak will come back again. For elderly people, they can only count on their own fate, Mr. Chen says. The final step in China's swift repeal of its contentious zero-COVID policy comes on Sunday, when it reopens borders for international travel. With mass testing, stringent quarantines, and sudden sweeping lockdowns gone, families like Mr. Chen's are wary of what lies ahead. But younger Chinese, all of whom did not wish to be named, feel differently, and some told the BBC they were voluntarily exposing themselves to infection. Oh my. That sounds scary. That sounds like a bad idea. A 27-year-old coder in Shanghai who did not receive any of the Chinese vaccines says he voluntarily exposed himself to the virus. Because I don't want to change my holiday plan, he explains, and I could make sure I recovered and won't be affected again during the holiday if I intentionally controlled the time I get infected. He admits he did not expect the muscle aches that came with the infection, but say the symptoms have been largely as expected. Another Shanghai resident, a 26-year-old woman, tells the BBC she visited her friend who had tested positive so I could get COVID as well. But she says her recovery has been hard. I thought it would be like getting a cold, but it was much more painful. A 29-year-old who works for state-run business based in Jiangsheng in the northern Zhejiang province says she was thrilled when she heard the country's borders reopening. She's excited to travel to other parts of China again to see concerts. Life was ridiculous when I had to ask my manager's permission to travel. I just want life to go back to normal, she says, but I do worry about the elderly. When her grandmother fell sick with COVID, he refused to go to hospital, even when his condition took a turn for the worse. She says, and reports of overwhelmed hospitals and crematoriums have only added to the worry. She says she has heard stories of corpses piled high in funeral parlors. She herself has not tested positive for the virus yet, but concedes that when her husband did, she wore a mask 24/7 at home, even when she was sleeping. Oh, man. That's just sad times, bad times for COVID deaths in China. We talked about them yesterday, too. Yep. Let's see. This sounds like the UK. Yeah, at least the vaccine in the UK is effective. Oh, that's kind of how that is, hopefully. Wrong button there. Let's go here. U.S. warship sails through the Taiwan Strait. A U.S. warship sailed through the Taiwan Strait between Taiwan and the Chinese mainland on Thursday, prompting criticism from Beijing. The U.S. military said the U.S. Chung-hoon's transit showed the U.S. commitment to a free and open Indo-Pacific. But a Chinese embassy spokesman in Washington said the voyage was to flex muscles and accused the U.S. of undermining peace and stability. Tensions on the Taiwan Strait soared last year. China carried out the island's biggest ever military exercises around the island following a visit there by former U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in August. There's also a guy that went with her there. China claims Taiwan is part of its territory and has vowed to unify it by force if necessary. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know how, what the best solution is there. But it does seem a little gnarly. MH Cat pointing out, a lot of older folks in China never got vaccinated. Yeah, it's true. A lot of elderly people, a lot of the people that are at risk never got their vaccine. And then the vaccine wasn't all that great either. So, it's kind of a bummer. Or it is a bummer, sorry. Hope nobody dies too. Not too many people die anyway. An update. Utah shooting. The guy that, the family that had like a bunch of kids killed in Utah. Here's an update for you. A 42-year-old man shot himself and seven family members in the state of Utah after his wife filed for divorce. The family of eight were found. Sorry about that. The family of eight was found inside a rural home in Enoch City on Wednesday night during a welfare check. Police say that the victims included the wife, five children, and mother-in-law. So, that's kind of the update there. He killed himself after his wife said she wanted a divorce. Totally rational and reasonable thing to do. And, won't somebody think of the bees? And they have. U.S. approves world's first vaccine for declining honeybees. The U.S. has approved use of the world's first vaccine for honeybees. It was engineered to prevent fatalities from American foul brood disease. And, I'm struggling here. Foul brood disease, a bacterial condition known to weaken colonies by attacking bee larvae. The U.S. Department of Agriculture approved a conditional license for the vaccine this week, according to the biotech firm behind its development. As pollinators, bees play a crucial role in many... I think that's a bad sign. Batteries or power is just turning off. I think it's called microsleep. As pollinators, bees play a critical role in many aspects of the ecosystem. So, fingers crossed this works out well, and we have more happy, good bees. Nuclear news, just real quick here with you. NuScale marks SMR progress in U.S. and Romania. NuScale Power Corporation has submitted an application for approval of its updated small modular reactor design to U.S. nuclear regulators. The company has also signed a contract with Romanian's RoPower Nuclear SA for front-end engineering and design work toward the deployment of a VOYGR-6 SMR power plant. The NuScale power module, on which the company's Voyager plants are based, is pressurized water reactor, incorporating all the components for steam generation and heat exchange. Anyway, it's good news. We're struggling here, but don't worry. We're only struggling for a little bit longer because the Dubious Goals Committee with TOEP happens every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC. And that is just about 7 minutes away. We're going to do our best to hang with it and stay conscious. We gotta stay on the air. Okay. Sorry. I'm trying. I am in a bad way. All right. We'll do one more story, and I'll probably just play you a song, because, oh, man. Let me tell you the headlines, and then we'll read one. So in Cameroon, Muslims are embracing henna and spreading that further around the country. In the United States, Kevin McCarthy is begging for votes, but he's still behind the majority that he needs to be able to be speak. So we'll see what happens there. What's funny that I learned was that the speaker doesn't even have to be a member of Congress. They just have to win more than 50% of the vote. So you could have a bunch of people vote in, like, I don't know, like Billy's grandma. Well, she's not a member of Congress, but she can be the speaker. In Hawaii, the Kilauea volcano is erupting again. And a veteran surfer, Marcio Freire, dies. He died while riding a big wave. And, let's see. 1 in 8 cases of asthma in the U.S. are caused by stove pollution. That's the pollution from using your gas stove inside the house. Which, to a lot of people, anybody I've mentioned this story to, they didn't realize that your stove polluted the inside of the house at all. One in eight clot is that. Where's the other part? Oh man, it never stops. Killings by U.S. police reach record high in 2022, and it's true. All right, I'm Scott fishing out. Who knows what's going on? Oh man, hey Shriver, welcome. let's see. How about this? I'll play a song, and that'll lead into Dubious Goals. That way you're not too stressed out. Let's click over here. Let's click here. On the road again. Ba ba da ba da ba road again.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.